Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to the Crossed in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life and schedule to join me on the broadcast. Today is Monday, April 5th, and wow, has the weather changed here in Florissant? We are in the 80s. We are headed towards an early summer. I just can't wait. This is my time of year. Today on the broadcast, I want to return to the issues of Iran. And to do that, I want to spend some time talking to you about a very perilous, dangerous deal that the Iranian government has made with the government of China. Now, I can tell you my Iranian friends are just enraged by this, that this country would take their economy and their precious sites and their technology and share it with a communist country that devalues human beings like China. But what's even more troubling is how the Chinese government are building up their economy, building up their military, and getting stronger. And what this deal means for us and the American people and the government, the weak government we have right now under Joe Biden. What I want to do is I want to talk about this deal with you, and then I want to share with you what the Bible has to say about Iran and China in the future under prophecy. This is an article written by Wesley Smith of the American Center of Law and Justice. I want to read this to you. I want you to hear what this Iran deal is really all about. It was this past Saturday that Iran and China, they signed a wide-ranging economic and security cooperation agreement, which basically is thwarting the attempts of the United States to isolate Iran. And it's rewarding Tehran's longstanding efforts to deepen diplomatic ties outside traditional Western powers. Now, Foreign Minister Javad Zarif and Wang Yi signed what both sides called, quote, a strategic partnership that will last for 25 years. The agreement was signed in Tehran. Now, details about this agreement have not been immediately released, but a draft of the agreement included Chinese investments in projects ranging from nuclear energy, ports, railroads, and other infrastructure to transfer of military technology and investment in Iran's oil and gas industry. The New York Times reports that it clears the way for $400 billion in Chinese investments in these and numerous other sectors. In exchange, China would get discounted supply of Iranian oil for the next 25 years down to the oil commodity once again. This will give Iran brand new revenue streams in addition to the $400 billion deal. What this is doing is making up for all of the damage done to them in sanctions by the Trump administration. What this does for us, it complicates our relationship with China even more. American sanctions have included cutting off access to international banking for any company or other entity that does business with Iran. Now, some of these expanded sanctions have included U.S. targeting of Chinese telecommunication company Huawei, where a criminal case was filed against its chief financial officer, Meng Wanzhou. Huawei, has tried to disguise investments in Iran in order to evade U.S. sanctions. That's how they're getting around it. Meanwhile, China clandestinely has at times purchased oil from Iran. China gets approximately 75% of its oil from abroad and is the world's largest importer at about 10 million barrels a day. The majority of Iranian oil is sold to China. Now, China's actions undercut our efforts to put economic pressure on Iran in order to force them into new negotiations and to keep them from acquiring nuclear weapons. China perceives our weakness right now with the Biden administration. Indications are that Biden will significantly change the good work that Trump did in the Middle East. He's going to change that policy. This includes re-engaging with Palestinians, restoring financial aid to the Palestinian Authority, and cutting military assistance to Saudi Arabia and other Gulf states, which are our chief allies in the region in addition to Israel. Now, China, you should know this, is our number one national security threat for economic, military, and geopolitical reasons. Iran is a self-declared enemy, state sponsor of terrorism. And they're an enemy of the United States and a national security threat to us as well. The two joining together in this deal, which stands against America, it's undermining our influence in that region. And the seriousness, I want to say, of this new alliance cannot be overstated. From a national security perspective, chief concerns over the new agreement center in on the military cooperation that's spelled out in this agreement. China and Iran will begin joint military exercises. They're going to share military research and weapons development and also begin exchanging intelligence information. So you can see how serious this is. This is no longer Iran. This is Iran plus China. Iran and China giving each other military assistance is incredibly troubling. American Navy ships already face off, as you know, with Iran in the waters of the Persian Gulf periodically. China's illegal claims to the areas of the South China Sea and placing military bases in international waters, that is a grave concern for me and United States officials. That's the reason that last year the Pentagon's national security strategy declared China as an adversary. But there's more. The accord between Iran and China includes plans for China to build a 5G telecommunications network and to give Iran access to the Chinese global positioning system. Giving Iran access to a Chinese GPS has military implications. China will also assist the Iranian government in asserting greater control over what is in cyberspace. This would restrict internet freedom and access, much like China's so-called Great Firewall already does. It would be another way for the Iranian government to limit access to information for the Iranian people and to restrict their freedoms. So we can see what is going on here. China has also offered to build several port facilities in Iran. One of these is just outside the Strait of Hormuz at the entrance of the Persian Gulf. one of the busiest waterways in the world and of critical importance to the world's energy supply. Our Fifth Fleet is headquartered not far away from Iran. Over 100 new infrastructure projects are listed in the agreement. The United States, and especially the Biden administration, must be clear-eyed and realistic about the actions of China and Iran. They must view the world as it is, not as they wish it to be. And I just would urge the Biden administration to take seriously the oath to defend this Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. China and Iran are not, again, repeat, not our friends. We must maintain serious sanctions against them and not rejoin with this ridiculous nuclear deal that Donald Trump rightly tore up. It is very troubling, this agreement, as I read this to you. I hope you think seriously about it. Now, I want to transition real quickly. The Bible has a lot to say about the end times. God knows the end from the beginning, Isaiah chapter 46. He not only knows the future, he plans the future. He's in control of the future. And the question often asked is, what about Iran? What about China in the end times? Well, let's look at that briefly. Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 through 16, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. These kings of the east in Revelation chapter 16, I believe includes China, and they are heading toward Jerusalem, toward the Battle of Armageddon. It occurs, of course, at the end of the tribulation after the sixth bowl judgment. The Euphrates River is dried up. It allows the kings from the east to invade the Near East and march toward Israel. Now, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2 says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." That's what God says. Verse 3, "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against these nations." This is the last 6 months of the tribulation period, that seven-year period that begins with the Antichrist confirming a peace treaty with Israel. Before that, half of the earth's population has already been killed in the seal judgments. Now, on the eastern side of the Euphrates River, where the kings of the east will come, we see China with a population of 1.6 billion people, India with a population of 1.4 billion people, North Korea, South Korea, Japan. And then we look in chapter 18 of the book of Revelation, and we see the city of Babylon, the Antichrist's headquarters. This is a one-world economic, political, governmental system we see in Revelation 18. China, I believe, will have a partnership with the Antichrist and other armies of the East, and we will see what happens, because China, of course, desires to be the number one economic power in the world. We hear so much of China with this virus, and that is a brief look at what I believe is going to happen in the end times. I want you to hear now from prophecy expert Jimmy DeYoung, as he describes Iran's role in the end times.
And Jimmy, as a journalist, you've covered the Middle East since 1991. And as you look at what's happening in the world and what the Bible is teaching about what happens after the rapture takes place, when Christians are out of here, Ezekiel 38, we've been talking in past weeks about specific nations that God says are going to form a coalition and come against Israel. And we've been saying some of those nations are on the horizon right now. We can see this shaping up. Finish this up. Summarize what Ezekiel 38 is talking about in terms of future events, because it'll tell us how close we are to those.
You know what's interesting when you study the book of Ezekiel? Those last 16 chapters, after the Jews come back into the land, there's going to be an alignment of nations that are going to come against them and try to wipe them off the face of the earth. For about 8 years when he was president of Iran, Ahmadinejad continually said, we're going to wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth. And he would talk about their name being forgotten forever. The Ayatollahs, the ones who control the nation of Iran with the Supreme Council, these Ayatollahs who are really the leaders of Iran, those men that are out front as president, they're the face of Iran, but not true leadership. But they said we can wipe Israel off the face of the earth in 90 seconds. In fact, when Ahmadinejad was making those radical statements, I looked at Psalm 83, verse 4, where the Lord tells in Psalm 83 through this prophet that indeed nations will come against Israel. They'll have a council meeting. They'll come out of the council meeting, and their statements will be, we're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, that her name be forgotten forever. Folks, as we sit here on the sidelines, as we look towards the region of the Middle East, that's exactly what we see happening. We've talked about Iran on the first program. We emphasize how key Iran is and their development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction to not only threaten Israel, Saudi Arabia, the Middle East, but the entire world. And the world is watching this come to pass and really not doing anything to deal with Iran. Now, Iran is not the leader of this coalition of nations. They're a major player. Russia is the leader. Magog, chapter 38, verse 2 of the book of Ezekiel. And Gog in the land of Magog. Now, I don't know that we can say who Gog is. That's the personality. The place is Magog. That's Russia. And the Old Testament in Genesis tells us that's the location that Russia is, where they went some 4,000 years ago to develop a family. Then we saw that Turkey was going to come in and form this coalition, be a part of it to come against the Jewish state of Israel. This is all unfolding before our very eyes. Tayyip Erdogan wants to be the pan-Islamic leader of the world. In fact, the other day he said, hey, you've got to reinstate Mohamed Morsi as president of Egypt. So he's formed an alliance with the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood, they were the major players standing on the sidelines when Libya and Colonel Gaddafi was taken down, and then they rushed into the vacuum to be the key component in putting that Libyan government back together. When you go over to Syria, the Muslim Brotherhood, they've been the underlying objection to Bashar Assad being president. They've helped form this coalition. You see the Muslim Brotherhood over in Jordan. They're trying to bring down the king of Jordan, King Abdullah, down and put a radical Islamic state right there. You look at all of these nations, they're forming together. The lowest common denominator, they're Muslims. They're of the Islamic world, maybe with the exception of Russia. But you better be studying the demographics of Russia, because they're quickly moving into that place where they're going to have many Muslims, an Islamic population across the world. You have to go into Sudan, Ethiopia, Somalia. You go over to Lebanon in chapter 83 of Psalms. It talks about Tyre. That's modern-day Lebanon. It talks about the Ishmaelites. That's modern-day Saudi Arabia. And you see all of these nations forming this coalition with one common goal: take Israel out of the picture. Wipe them off the face of the earth, that their name be forgotten forever. Isn't that ironic? You got 5 to 6 million Jewish people in this little piece of real estate, less than the size of New Jersey. You have 350 million Muslims around them, and they're wanting to wipe out this little state. God said it was going to happen. We're moving quickly to the time when Israel will lay down their weapons. They'll be defenseless. They'll be living in unwalled cities, a military terminology in chapter 38 there and verse 11. And that's after the Antichrist comes on the scene. He puts in place a so-called peace agreement. It's going to be a pseudo peace, a false peace, but he'll come to power. And Israel and all of her neighbors will agree to it. Israel lays down their weapons. In comes this alignment to try to wipe them out. Joel chapter 2, verse 3 says, the largest militia ever formed on the face of the earth will come to Jerusalem to try to set up their caliphate, a worldwide kingdom. Islam has an eschatology. It's different, of course, than what the Word of God talks about. But after the rapture that Rennie has so well been talking about, this seven-year period begins, and in the first 6 months, this alignment of nations will come to try to wipe out Israel. That's the greatest evidence, I believe, that we have that we're living in the times of the rapture and then the period of the tribulation.
Some excellent prophetic information from prophecy expert Jimmy DeYoung on the John Ankerberg Show. When you think about what's happening in the world, when you think about currently what's going on now, we are told not to fear. God is in control, that he is the God of the past, the present, and the future. He controls it all. He knows it all. He plans it all. All arise. Let us worship him. some very powerful worship music from Michael W. Smith, All Arise, reminding us that God is in sovereign control of our planet, of all the events that take place here. So that should cause us to trust him and not to fear. Today on the program, I've been talking to you about the disastrous implications and repercussions from this Iran-China deal. If you know the Iranian people like I do, you can understand their absolute outrage. Centuries ago, Islam took over their country, the Persian dynasty, the glory, changed it completely. It's no longer recognizable in many ways because of the Islamic influence. And now China has involved themselves in their country, all because Iran needs money. And it benefits China too. So you can understand the pain and the suffering of Iranians, Iranian Americans that now live here and see their country disappearing, their heritage, their dynasty, their culture being overtaken not only by Islamic, but now communists. And you can understand their outrage and the implications this deal has for us, the United States, the military advantage this gives China, the economic edge this puts on China, and how this is canceling out the effect of our sanctions on Iran to weaken the Iranian government. This deal is very disastrous. How I wish that President Trump was president at this time and how he would respond to this. But instead, we have a very weak leader suffering what I believe is from dementia and from many other things. He is not a force to be reckoned with like Trump. It's weakening us militarily and economically, and therefore it makes us very vulnerable to China, who is increasing militarily and economically. But let's keep one thing in mind. God is in control. But what this says in the end times is very important, as we've looked at carefully today. Mark this in your Bible, Revelation chapter 16, Revelation chapter 18, Ezekiel chapter 38, and study this out for yourself. This Thursday, going to continue on my in-depth chronological look at the book of Revelation, and we'll be looking at the doctrine and the program of the Antichrist as Revelation 6, the first seal, is opened. I invite you to tune in then this Thursday at 9:30 a.m. for another episode of The Cross in the Desert. Have a fantastic week and enjoy the weather and have a safe, fun week as we approach summer. God bless you all. We'll see you again on Thursday.